And Stanley put us together, and we just talked and whatnot. And he said to me, during one of those times, he says, Pastor Sam, if you need anything, if there's any way that we can serve you, or anything that we can do for you to help your church, you let me know. And for me, I was so impressed by that. And it's a real servant's heart. And it sounds just like a friend of mine, right? Jesus the Christ. Right, so just really, really amazing. And so, but we were sharing a lot about church and whatnot. He's an extremely, extremely busy man, right? Time is at his, he's got, check this out, he's got 3 personal assistants. He's got 2, and then 1 assistant that's in charge of the 2 other assistants, right? And when he shared, I was like, oh, that's cool, man. Personal assistants, all right, that's cool, right? And, they read his emails and all these things. I'm like, that's okay. But today, this afternoon, man, I was jealous. Like, I've never been jealous in my life. and Pastor Dom was sitting down there, and we're eating lunch, and it was good, and I was like, okay, we're talking. I was like, that's cool. I don't need an assistant. I'm perfectly content at Solomon's Porch, my life in Hong Kong. Everything's cool, man. And then Pastor Dom says, May, did one of these things, right? She got up, right, and went to work on his shoulders, man. Just massaging, right? And apparently he's got 2 people on staff. They do a lot of other things, but he's trained them to. And so she did me, I feel good, man, and stuff. And I was sitting in the corner of Noah's Ark feeling so alone. I'm wondering, does anyone love me? And then my man Kenny came. But I don't really like guys touching me, so it was all right. It was good, actually. It was good. And things, so that really made me jealous, man. And stuff, so I'm kidding, but not really. But all right. Now I got all my issues out. Monday night I'll be back to deal with my bitterness and my jealous issues with Pastor Dominic now. And it's been, a real blessing to have him. And it's, he shared a word this morning. And I tell you, man, right, you better go online and download it and listen to it 100 times. It was good. Just preaching, right? Because we haven't seen him in the preaching mode yet, And he's been teaching and, very intellectual and articulate. Now he was preaching. And, I know he's Singaporean, he's some Malay, right? But I think the brother got some soul, man. Trust me, you'll find out in a second, right? He's got some soul. So without further, let's give a warm welcome to Pastor Dominic.
Well, thank you again. Thank you, Pastor Sam, for your hospitality, your generosity. We've been really blessed how you guys have taken care of us. The different house church groups kind of been around us, hang around, take us out for food. So thank you. Thank you. We've been really, really blessed. Well, Stan, not much to say about him. He was just lost in the crack, so... No, seriously, he's got a good 6 years of perfect attendance in Sunday school. Yeah, he was there, never skipped a beat, but I don't know whether he was beating hard there or not, but he was just there. I'm going to find him a good wife round. He's dying. Well, I want you to know the church has prayed for you. We have a weekly attendance of between 6,500 to 6,700 folks that comes through the doors of our church on a regular weekend. And all 5 worship services have prayed for you already. So I know there's been lots of prayers, to cover you guys. Probably the church is, probably the Trinitarians are worried that I speak heresy here, so they're just covering you. But let's turn our Bibles to Mark chapter 5, And you know, we are in our building program. And the thing about it is that God continuously challenged us as a local church in Singapore to keep going to the next level. And I really feel that God, when God created humanity, God did not create humanity to remain status quo. But God has created us so that we will have a sense of fulfillment in advancing in everything that we do. That is why humankind have aspiration to climb the ladder, so to speak. That's why we have aspiration to be better. That's why we have aspiration to get married and then to have children. And so it is actually an upwards mobility, and it's not wrong. I guess it's part of the DNA that God has created us to have. But of course, sin kind of warped some of the stuff. But today, we're going to come back to the center of it all and to rediscover from God's Word. Because I believe this morning, as I ministered on the breakthrough anointing, that those of us that were here and those that are listening to the Word will experience a breaking through to the next level. But as you break through to the next level, there is always the call, there's always a clarion call of the Holy Spirit in our life to go on to the other side. And so that's what I want to kind of touch on a little in the next few minutes, to kind of challenge you as a church to go on to the next level. You know, we first bought our property at Adam Road. It's a 1 acre of property. And I remember coming to church for the very first time in Trinity on June the 10th, 1980. And so that's about 30 years back. And when I first came to church for the very first time, I was just saved radically on Saturday night, from a life of sin and vice. God just straightened me up, cleaned me up the next day. And I was in church on Sunday. And for the first time, I heard about a church that wanted to buy a plot of land. And, you know, they bought it in the most prestigious part of Singapore. And at a point in time, there was only about 300 of us. And majority of us were young working adults, college students, and young families. And yet, that the group of 300 basically gave sacrificially so that we can buy the piece of property for about $5 million back then, 30 years back. And we're talking about five million in Hong Kong dollars would be 25 million Hong Kong dollars. And after buying the property, we didn't have money to build. So we had to keep raising funds for years. And it wasn't until 1989, 9 years later, that we started the building program. And of course, the first phase finished by 1990. And then we launched into our second phase in 1993 to expand the building, because we bought the first plot, then we bought the second plot. And as soon as we finished paying off Adam Road, 1 acre, the Lord then opened another second property for us. And that's down at Lavender. So it's a four-story building, much smaller than Adam Road, but we felt God led us there. And so we bought a second property, and this time it was for about $15 million, which is, you work out your math, I think it's about 45 million, sorry, 75 million, all right, so now you understand my math. I only know how to use money, all right? So we bought it for 75 mil, and by the time we finish off paying for that property, and I don't know how long it took us, but it didn't take us too long by the time we finished off paying. But at that time, Trinity was probably running about 2,000 of us, 2,005 at most 3,000. And God then led us to the next property. I mean, you would think that, hey, enough is enough, man, come on, you know, and let's just be happy and contented where we are. Of course, you know, godliness and contentment is great gain, you know, we can kind of quote that scripture. But God kind of led us to a 3.5 acre of property. It belongs to Shell, and it was Shell Recreational Club, where there was a huge Olympic-sized swimming pool, 4 badminton courts, 2 tennis courts, 2 squash courts, a soccer field, and a huge restaurant, and other areas. And then, and so God led us into that, and so we purchased that for $20 million, which is about a hundred million Hong Kong dollars, and we paid off in 5 years. I mean, when we bought it, it's kind of incredulous for many of us because we could not believe that we would own such a huge property. And currently in Singapore, we probably have the largest. If for a modern day church, we have the largest land parcel. And most of the time in Singapore, when you buy a land parcel that's released by the government, it is for 30 years. But we have never bought from the government land. We have always bought through a private commercial transaction. So they are for life. So all three properties are right now, for eternity until Jesus comes home. And so we bought it and we fundraised for 5 years to finish off paying. And right in the midst of fundraising, I became the senior pastor of the church. And then we started the building program. So the whole redevelopment right now at this juncture, and I know this is stream and this is going to be online, but Trinitarians, if you hear this, don't just fall off your chair. Our church folks don't understand how much it is. We didn't tell them how much. We just say, keep giving to Jesus. And they give sacrificially. I pray that Trinity will be filled with millionaires. But the reality, the truth and the reality of it is, it is made up of ordinary folks just like you and me. Guys that love the Lord, that will be willing to give to the Lord. And so we began our building program, and it cost us $80 million just to build, which is 400 million Hong Kong dollars. And so the whole project is actually 100 million Sing, which is half a million Hong Kong dollars. And I told the congregation as we started the development, I stood up and I told them, I told the leadership base, not the congregation, I told the leadership base, I am not wanting to take the rest of my life to raise money to pay off this huge thing. But we're going to do it in 5, and this will be our 5th year, and we're just about to clear our entire debt of 400 million Hong Kong dollars. And the reason is because of men and women who love Jesus, who are prepared to give what they have and to give sacrificially. Now, I know Pastor Sam didn't pay me to say this to you guys, but I sense destiny in this place. I sense you guys are at a place, bring a breakthrough. And that's why the Lord has given me these two messages to minister to you guys, to speak into the heart of Solomon Porch, so that as a church, you move to the next level and begin to do great things for God. The people who are coming in after you, because we do know that a number of you would turn around, go back to your home country, or you get sent overseas. But those coming in after you are gonna see the testament of your faith in a big God. And that's what the whole building, the program that you guys are going to be embarking on is all about. It is not about brick and mortar. It's not about getting a nice big building so that we can boast we have the nicest building. Hey, come on. Why shouldn't the church have the nicest building? Why should the world have the nicest building? It doesn't make sense to me. And so I believe God is about to take you guys on a journey where you're going to possess a piece of land and a building that would glorify God, a building that will house soul. But most of all, I sense that building will be a training center. It will be a convening center of people from different nations. Then they will be trained in Solomon Porch, and then when they turn around, be sent up, you guys will be sending them forth. Even if they are going back to their home country, you are sending them forth. They're going to come in as ordinary folks. You're going to send them forth as leaders. They're going to come. And that's what it is all about. And so I'm believing with you guys. I'm believing with you, Pastor Sam, that God has given you this great vision. Because in my heart, when I came the first time on Friday into the service, I said, this place is too small. Because prophetically, I know that God's going to take you guys to the next level. But most of all, this church was founded on mission. And and God is going to cause you guys to invade the nation. It's about a vision and a dream that God has given to a man and his wife. And this man and his wife has been so into mission. And in a sense, well, he would want to go down and do it at the trenches. But God is saying to him, it's not going to be it. God is going to use him to raise up a training center. And God is going to cause that training center to be populated with men and women who understand what kingdom is all about. And then they will receive a DNA from the Spirit of God to go into the nation. And so that's what I see Solomon Porch to be. You know, and that's how God is going to fashion you guys. But I want to challenge you guys to go on to the next level. I want to challenge you guys to dream big, bigger than yourself, bigger than what you can conceive of. Because God has a huge destiny for Solomon Porch. Amen. So I want to invite you to join with me right now as we pray and then look into the Word of God. And as we pray, keep an open posture to what the Spirit of God has to say to you, because God's going to push some of you. You see, even eagles need a push sometimes, you know, from our nest. Because God's going to shake you guys. You guys going to be shaken, because I believe God's shaking you to take you to the next level. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for this congregation. I thank you for the vision. I thank you, Lord, that when you first called Pastor Sam, you have given him a missions calling. And Lord, sometimes he wonders why he's pastoring a church instead of going to the different nations of the world to start churches. And I pray, Father, today that as you have brought him here, you have brought him here to be an equipper of missions. You have brought him here so that you will cause him, that his vision will be impregnated into lives in this church, that this church will understand their calling and step into their destiny that you have for them. I pray for Solomon Porch right now. Lord, I ask for the covering of the blood of Jesus upon this church. I pray, Father, right now that you will shake them out of the same old. You will shake them out of the ordinary, because they are not meant to be ordinary. They are not meant to have church as usual. And so, Spirit of God, shake them and then thrust them forward into the front lines in the Spirit, that they may do warfare in the kingdom and that they may become your warriors. And so I thank you. I praise you, Father, for all the Solomon Porch has done up to this point in time. I know, Father, from this moment, you are going to cause them to move beyond the line of where they are today. And so I thank you. I praise you in Jesus' name. And God's people say, amen. God's people say, amen. 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 Sorry, Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, reading verse 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Now, I want to give a backdrop before I read. Mark chapter 4 is really about the teaching ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to this place and he was ministering. He gave great teaching. If you were there that day, you would love to just sit under the feet of Jesus to receive from the ministry of Christ. And Christ preached about the parable of the sower. He preached about this kingdom parable of what the kingdom of God will be like. And there was great teaching. And the people just simply love him. And then, out of the blue, in verse 35, that day, which means that same day as he was ministering the word, at the end of that day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side. Let us go over to the other side." I want to entitle my sermon this afternoon, "Going Over to the Other Side." Going over to the other side. You know, friends, God has the other side for you. God has not meant for you to be Harry. You know who is Harry? Harry's the guy that gets up every day and do the same old for the rest of his life. Have you guys figured out who Harry is? Harry's a hamster. Harry the hamster gets up every morning, runs on a treadmill of life. Lots of motion, no direction. I mean, don't you hate it that you wake up every morning at the same time, go to the same bathroom, do the same gig, dress in the same way, go out to the same bus stop, go to the same MTR station, or go to the same car, drive the same route, go to the same job, sit at the same chair, that's the same thing, and then knock off at the same time to go home to the same thing. And some of us are just happy doing it. Literally, you and I sometimes becomes like Harry the hamster, running on a treadmill of life, not going anywhere, and we're just simply happy. Yeah, hallelujah. But you know, friends, God is saying, go over to the other side. You know, the disciples had a great time. They had a ball of a time. I mean, and then suddenly Jesus said, hey, guys, let's go over to the other side. Because you know what? This is just too this is just too easy for us. This is just the same old, same old. You guys been hearing me preach? Come on, right now, we're going to put the ministry into the practice. We're going to move from the mystical right now to the practical. So Jesus says to go over to the other side. You know what, friends? God is calling you to go over to the other side. So turn to the guy beside you, nudge them and say, go over to the other side. That's right. Turn to the other person and say, go over to the other side. Yeah. Do you know what the other side represents for you? Let me show you through scriptures the symbolism of what the other side is. Because as soon as the disciples went over to the other side, chapter 5, as soon as they arrive at the other side, you will think that the other side represents, amen, glory land. But no, when they arrive at the other side, who came? A demon-possessed guy with hundreds of demons rushing at Jesus and his cohorts. I mean, that guy was about to smack them. But you know what? The other side represents, in reality, great spiritual warfare and victory. Hallelujah. You know, God is wanting Solomon Porch to go over to the other side because God has great victories in store for you. Yes, there will be spiritual warfare. But friends, that's the name of the game. You know, I had a pastoral staff that went with me to Australia. Any Australian here? All right, so you will understand this. Australia is a strange place. Sorry, man, folks. It is so strange that you have the most dangerous fish in the world called the white shark. You have the world's most dangerous snake. You have the world's most dangerous spider. I mean, they have the world's most dangerous everything, man. And so this pastoral staff and I went to a church north of Cairns. It's called the Tableland. And so, of course, when I arrived there, one of my pastor asked the senior pastor of the church, you know, and he says, Pastor, is there a lot of people making table? That's why you call it Tableland. And of course, I kick him in the butt and I say, hey, what table? You know. And this place is called Tableland and it's out in the woods, man. And when we went there, I thought, man, I went into the outback. And so that night, I was teasing him because, you know, I said to him, I'm going to hold on to your mobile phone so that when your girlfriend calls, I'm going to speak to her and tell her to stop buzzing you, you know. And so he got worried. He grabbed his handphone and he went out of the home and he was talking. I mean, he had a great chat. So I lock up the whole house so that he cannot come in. I don't know how he managed to come in. He probably crawled through different places. And then he came in, slept, and then next day, everything's fine. And then, you know, and then 2 days later, he started having a pain in his neck. And when he put on his tie, I mean, it hurt him like crazy. And so the pastor came and the pastor of the church came and put his arms around him and kind of hit his neck and he said, ouch! And the pastor says, I hope you didn't get a killer tick. And I said, what? Killer tick? And he said, yeah, we have the world's most dangerous tick. If it bites a chicken, the chicken will die within minutes. It bites a dog, within 2 hours, the dog dies. And I said, what about humankind? And I was looking at Edwin and I was laughing. And he said, yeah, you, it's serious. And so the pastor pulled out, you know, took a look at his neck, and surely it was a killer tick, a paralysis tick. And they managed to, and he managed to yank out half of it, and the other half, I mean, at least the belly's out, because the belly's where he's pumped the poison in. But you know, Edwin started getting numbness in his body, and so then Gerald arrived, my other pastor arrived. So in between Gerald and I, we kind of pinned Edwin to the door that day after the church. We went back to the house, and Edwin was sitting there and says, I feel numb. You know, though the pastor said we've gotten rid of it. And so I began to play mind games. You know. I said, Edwin, man, you're going to die tonight, man. You want me to call your girlfriend? And you know, you want me to call call for evacuation? And then he got worried and says, do you feel numb right now? And he said, yeah, Pastor Doyle, I feel. I said, do you feel it numb yet? He said, yeah. And so Jerry and I pinned him to the wall. I went into the kitchen, took a knife, a carving knife for turkey, and I basically cut his neck, and he was struggling. But, you know, we couldn't get it out. But so we had to go to the hospital to get everything. Then we came back. Then we came back to the house. We came back to the house. I looked up, and there was a huge spider. Now I remember, they have the world's most dangerous spider. And I want you to know, I'm not joking. Spider is huge. If it bites you, you will be Spider-Man. It was huge. I looked at it. I said, Edwin, look at this, man. And Edwin came back. Oh, Pastor Dom, let's not mess with it, man. I said, Edwin, let's deal with this. He says, no, Pastor Dom. Because Gerald didn't, we didn't put Gerald in our house. Gerald had to sleep outside of the house in another place. And so both Edwin and I were there. So I said, Edwin, come on, let's deal with it. Come on, Edwin, deal with it. I need to sleep. He held in his hand and said, no, Pastor Dom, let's not mess with it, man. I'm going to say. I said, Edwin, I can't sleep with Incy Wincy spider coming down tonight. So let's kill it. And he said, no, no, don't mess with it and it will not mess with you. I said, no, Edwin. So I took a shoe, pair of shoe, and I threw it and I smacked it, man. I struck it out. It came down and it was huge. We kept the spider for the pastor. And the point is this. I was wondering why I was telling the story. It's a great story. The point is this. Edwin has this concept that if you don't mess with it, it will not mess with you. And a lot of us believers have the same concept towards spiritual warfare. And we say, we don't mess with the devil, and the devil don't mess with us. Hey, listen, the devil will mess with you anytime and all the time. That's why there's chaos in our land. That's why there's chaos in our family. That's why there's chaos in your life. That's why there's chaos in your community. That's why there's chaos at work. You can't say, listen friends, you cannot afford to say, don't mess with the devil and he will not mess. Listen, if you don't wake up, you are in a state of spiritual warfare. The day you became a child of God, you have been enlisted into the army of God. To the day you became a child of God, you are no longer part of the friendly forces of the enemy. You have immediately became a foe of the enemy. And it is his intention to derail you from the purposes of God for your life. That's why the Bible tells us in John 10:10 that the devil comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. And so it's important that you and I today wake up to the idea and say, we need to go over to the other side. Yes, the other side is going to represent great spiritual warfare. But friends, in the spiritual warfare, there's going to be great victories. Hallelujah. And so when the disciples arrived, there was a spiritual warfare. But the Bible tells us there was a great spiritual victory. Hallelujah. And there was a great deliverance. I like the fact that you guys are launching the deliverance ministry. Because that's what it means. You know, let me tell you, this is not coincidental that I'm preaching this message when you guys are launching a deliverance ministry. This deliverance ministry thing that you guys are launching is part of the whole larger global purposes of God for Solomon Porch. And so you guys need to go over to the other side. And I believe that's going to be the launch point of great things to come. You know, when it went over to the other side, it was not only great spiritual warfare that resulted in great spiritual victories and deliverance. There was also great miracles and great healing. Chapter 5 tells us immediately after the deliverance of this demonic guy, they cross by boat over to the other side. Notice now they go over again to the other side. And immediately, a man came up to Jesus and said, "My little daughter is dying. Would you come and heal her?" And as Jesus was going to heal the little daughter, along came a woman. And both, and the Bible records 12. Because this woman suffered for 12 years with a hemorrhage issue. And then she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and we read of how she was healed instantaneously, isn't it? But do you know that this little girl is also 12 years old? Yeah. Check it out in your Bible. Look at Mark chapter 12, verse 42. Mark chapter 5, verse 42. Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. And there's a reason why the Bible records this two things. Number one, for the lady that was suffering from a hemorrhage problem for 12 years, it represented for her, when the disciples came over the other side to touch her, it represented a miraculous healing and a restoration that took place. Because it's like, she's been sick for the longest time. And now a miracle happened. But what about the 12-year-old girl? Do you know that a 12-year-old girl in the Jewish culture represents the point of womanhood? What is that? That's the beginning of your dream, man. The ruler came up to Jesus and says, "I'm going to lose my dream. My daughter represents the dream. And in this little girl's life, the future is ahead of her. She's just starting out into womanhood. And so that's her future." The other side, friends, listen very carefully, signifies great spiritual victories and deliverance. It's also going to represent for this church restoration, but most of all, a fulfillment of your dream. God is going to cause you to be restored from broken dreams. Yes, some of you sitting here has got broken dreams. You started off well with your future, and somehow, for whatever reason, you are now suffering from a broken dream, and you have abandoned that dream. But listen, you need to go over to the other side, because the other side represents the restoration from those broken dreams. Because God will heal you and give you a brand new start. That's what the other side represents. So God has the other side for you. But the other side also represents great evangelization. We go back to Mark chapter 5, verse 20. Mark 5, 20. "So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus has done for him." And notice the word, "all the people were amazed." All. It's a whole entire region. We're not talking about a little town, but it's about a whole region that will hear about Jesus. Friends, listen, Solomon Porch, listen carefully. God is calling you to go over to the other side, because at the other side, as you right now determine in your heart, we're going to go over to the other side, you're going to see great salvation take place in this region. Hallelujah. All the prayers, the last 7 years of prayer, the last 7 years of labor is going to result as you go over to the other side. Men and women coming to know Jesus. Men and women hearing about Christ. Restoration, salvation. That's what the other side represents. So are you willing to go over to the other side? Friends, listen. God's calling you. go over to the other side. God's going to increase your faith because the other side represents an increase of faith. It's not the same level of faith, because if you read the whole story, it's about a new level of faith. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of living on the same old life. I'm tired of that same level of faith. Every year I get out, I say, God, I want a brand new faith. I want a bigger faith. I want something stronger. I want something more miraculous. I want to see more souls get saved. I want to see the realization of my dreams. I want to see miracles happen. And you know, like today, what happened to Pastor Sam Kim? Let me tell you, like what I agree what Pastor Sam Song said. Yeah, it's not just now about chills and fever, but it's about cancer, it's about AIDS. We're going to go for it. That's what the other side represents. Amen. How many of you are prepared right now to go over to the other side? All right, the million-dollar question is, how do we go over to the other side? Isn't it? We all like, yeah, that's good. Yeah, victory, hallelujah. Yeah. Dreams. Yeah, but Pastor Dom, how? All right, let's get back to Mark chapter 4, verse 35. God has the other side for you, but how do you do it? That day when evening came, that's the first point. That day when evening came, you must understand the closure of one season and the opening of the other. When scripture uses the word when evening came, it signifies the closure of a day and the start of a brand new day. So if you want to go over to the other side, you got to accept and you got to declare that you are shutting back the past season. And you are putting your face to the new. Until you do that, you continue to carry the old season into the new academic year. You hearing what I'm saying? Every year, every new year, or every new day represents a prophetic day or a prophetic year in the Lord. But a lot of us are not able to achieve the prophetic year and the prophetic season of God. It's because we have held back. Because we have not allowed the day to come to a close. We enjoy staying in the same old day. And so you got to do that. That's why the scripture says, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over. And verse 36, notice the same word there. The same Greek word, leaving the crowds behind. And so, number one, you got to recognize the closure of a season. Do you discern in your heart right now? Do you discern in your spirit the closure of one season and the opening of the next? If you cannot discern it, then this afternoon, you got to come for prayer and say, God, touch my heart, touch my eyes that I may see the brand new season ahead of me. Friends, listen, don't stay in the old season because God's moving to a new day. There's a fresh new beginning. And, you know, it's like Solomon Porch has been vacillating between the old and the new. And for many, is, you know, there is a conviction that there is a closure. But for some of you, you're still holding back. And because of this tension of pull and push, nothing can happen. Because there's power in the place of agreement. So you need to affirm in your heart right now, God has a new season, and this is a closure. Number two, in order to get over to the other side, you got to leave the crowd behind. You got to leave the crowd behind, friends. The crowd of the yesteryears will tend to hold you back from the brand new season. Can you try walking into the new season with stuff holding you back? You'll be pulled back. You know, friends, you cannot afford to stumble into the new season. You know, by grace, some people stumble into the new season. But by choice, many walk into the new season. And the choice is leaving the crowd behind. There's a scripture in Isaiah that says, behold, I'm doing a new thing before you. Do you not perceive it? And then the scripture says, do not dwell, do not live in the past. And The problem with us is that we tend to have the crowd holding us back. Now, the crowd represents a few things. Number one, the crowd represents people. There are some people that just enjoy holding you back. And friends, you cannot afford to allow those whom you're associating with to hold you back. And some of those people are just holding you back for their own selfish reason. Whereas God has a bigger plan for your life. You cannot afford just to look for man's affirmation, man's stuff. You gotta be a fear of God and say, I'm gonna leave the crowd behind. Jesus told the disciples, let's go over to the other side. And immediately the Bible says, leaving the crowd behind. They left. And it's true. There may be some people you may have to leave behind, because they are not going to go with you. I'm not being elitist here, but I'm saying, let's move first so that you can come back and rescue them. If you stay back here, it's going to just jeopardize your moving forward. So you might as well move forward first, get yourselves built strong, and then come back and bring them with you. But some of us, for too long, oh no, I can't, out of loyalty. Friends, hello, loyalty is going to kill you. Yeah. God has something in store for you. And you, if you want spiritual victories, if you want new faith, if you want to see miracles, healing, restoration, if you want to see your dreams restored, if you want to see salvation, leave the crowd. Leave the crowd. Leave those that are negative. You know, there's some people. This morning you guys heard I hate counseling. Not only do I hate counseling, but I don't like people who are like parasites. There's some folks that are like parasites. They suck the life out of you. And they suck the life out of you through their negativism. You hang around them, they're forever talking about the bad stuff of this person, that person. And they're forever wallowing in pain, you know. And they're forever wallowing in that, in those days, you know, that's how we did it, or and all that. You know. I don't know, am I stepping on some toes here? And the moment they forgive the people, suddenly they have nothing to talk about. They become boring. They have made their pain a topic for life. So sad, isn't it? That's why they never get over to the other side. Come on, deal with it. Move on. How many of you use Apple? Computer. All right. How many of you use IBM? Okay. So few of you. You know, if you study the story of Apple versus IBM, you will discover that in the early days when Apple started, they started in a garage and they did well, and somehow Apple had a market share in America. But this group of guys that did so well decided that, hey, we could rest on our laurels and, you know, we've beaten our rivals, so let's just take a break. And they rest. And they began to enjoy the good old days, and they started living in the past. And IBM slowly surged forward. And suddenly IBM computer is found in every home, and Apple started losing the market share. Isn't it true? Sometimes living in our past, the crowd of our past. So the crowd can represent people. The crowd can represent our past. It can represent our past victories. Listen carefully. Because for us, some of the past pains, we want to forget about and move on. But for some people, they wallow in their past pains. But for many of us, we bask in the glory of our heydays. And we keep talking about the good old days, you know. Hey, Pastor Sam, we got to keep the church small because, you know, I'm uncomfortable with these folks. You know, my home group, I was our house church, 12 of us, and it was just cushy. Now there's this 13th person called May, you know, it's a pain unless she massages all of us, you know. And we just can't handle. We just keep enjoying. We can't handle the new, and we keep enjoying the past. And listen, if you keep enjoying the past, you will be past. Yeah. You gotta leave the crowd. Leave the crowd of people that hold you back and move on. You got to leave the crowd of the past, of yesterday's pain and yesterday's victory. God has something in store for you. God has. You got to affirm it in your heart. You got to affirm it. Know the timing. Bring closure to that. Leave the crowd behind. Next. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. I like that. You know, we read this verse and we miss something very important there. They took him. They took him with them. Notice the word, just as he was. Where was Jesus? Was he on a shore so that they had to go and take him? Where was he? Read it very carefully. The scripture tells us he was in the boat. So Jesus was, and this tells us Jesus is always forward looking. That's why he's in a boat. And basically he's actually in the boat saying, the guys, let's go over to the other side. So they took him. And that was the point. The point here is this. You better have the presence of God to go over to the other side. If you don't have the presence of God in your life, then when you go over to the other side, you're going to face spiritual warfare alone. If you don't have the presence of Jesus with you, you're not going to see the miracles, the healings, the signs and wonders. If you don't have Jesus with you, if you don't have the presence of Jesus with you, you're not going to see your dreams restored. When I was young, I always had an aspiration to be a leader. And my past is a little bit warped because I went to school and tried to be a leader on the first day of school in grade one, and I was bashed up by three boys. two brother and a cousin, and they were karate players. And I was wounded quite badly, hospitalized and all, and so I shunned from being a leader for a while. And it damaged my dream because I grew up in a family where dad and mom has always inspired me to be a leader. Whatever I do, just be a leader. But when I went to grade one, I mean, that dream basically got devastated, destroyed completely. And so out of a wounded spirit, now I'm sharing this so that some of you can understand. Out of a wounded spirit, I became a leader. So I had a faulty foundation. And so when I was in school then, of course, I then enrolled for taekwondo. And then, of course, when I was 12 years old, 6 years after I got bashed, I bashed the three of them before I went out of school. And so I started my high school on a faulty foundation where I messed up royally. Yes, in a sense, I'm still a leader. But it is a faulty foundation that came out of insecurity, out of pain, out of a wounded heart. It wasn't until June the 9th, 1980, when I received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's 30 years ago. And God began to do a reconstruction work of redefining my past. And in 1989, I received a prophetic word that forever changed my life. I was in this pastor's summit where there were about 140 pastors of different denominations, and we came together. And three persons came and laid hands, and they began to prophesy over me. They were praying and they were prophesying over me. And they prophesied from Psalm 78, how God took David out of the pen and made him ruler over the nation of Israel. And when that was spoken over my life, I sensed Christ. I mean, it's like at salvation, I experienced Christ. But at this time, again, I experienced such an overwhelming presence of Christ in my life. It was so overwhelming that I broke down. Now, the folks in Trinity knows, I don't cry. You know? I just perspire from my eyes, that's all. I try not to cry. I mean, real men cry, all right? First of all, let me just confess. All right? For the record on the tape, real men cry. Amen. So let's get that settled. But I have this trick in me that I try not to show my emotions, so I would bury deep a lot of my emotions. And so I try not to cry. But that day, I remember after they prayed for me, I bawled. I cried till, I mean, if my eyes were so swollen that it could drop off from my eye socket. That's how bad it was, you know. It was humongous, you know. I probably need SK-1. It's a face mask, right, for some of you. And in the hotel room that day, I mean, I just felt God visiting me. And can you imagine, I cried when they were praying for me. I went back to my hotel room alone and I was still crying right through. And I just kept crying and God visited me. That was when I first read this scripture. I read this scripture a zillion times. But that day when I read the scripture, I knew God told me to leave everything behind. God told me to take Him with me. You know, and throughout life as being, even though I was His leader, operating on 40 foundation, I never operated with the presence of God. I operated with all of the charisma that I had. I operated with all the natural talent I had, but never with the presence of God. But that day, in the hotel room as I was bawling, I realized I need, like what Brother Lawrence in his book called Practicing the Presence of God. I started learning how to practice the presence of God. And whenever I practiced the presence of God, things began to happen in miraculous way. And so I went on this mission trip in India. And I said, God, I need proof that You are with me. And I remember preaching in this church in Pune, which is a 1 hour plane, 1 hour drive from Bombay. I went to this little town and I preached. And as the missionaries and as the congregation came to the front to respond to the altar call, I was just basically standing there as they came. And I took one step towards them, and a lot of them was thrown 25 meters out of that place of the altar. And suddenly everyone that was standing started running back to their seats. And I said to them, wait, I didn't do nothing. And the presence of God was so overwhelming. And that began a whole journey for me in learning to walk in the presence of God. And I want you to know, as you walk carrying the presence of God in your life, which means you honor Him with everything that you do. You practice the presence of God by giving Him praise. You practice the presence of God by allowing your entire being to be a worship to Him in everything that you say, everything that you do. That everything that you do becomes an expression of worship to Him. And I like what was expressed on the video screen. Worship is taking the life of Christ into an ordinary life, and something happens. That's the presence of God. So the disciples recognized the season. They left the crowd. They took Jesus with them just as He was in the boat. Which means they came alongside. They came alongside and aligned themselves with Christ. You want to practice the presence of God? You align yourself with the presence of God. A lot of us think it the other way around. God, come. No. You go. You align yourself into the boat where He was. And something begins to happen. Because the disciples then set sail, isn't it? And as they set sail going over to the other side, I want you to know, going over to the other side, there will be storms. There will be, the enemy will try everything and he will throw everything at you to stop you going over to the other side. That's what happened. But the last key here is this. So the first key is to recognize the season, isn't it? Second key is to leave the crowd. Third key is to align yourself with Christ as you carry His presence. But the fourth key is to activate faith. I want to borrow 4 chairs right now. Maybe May can help me. We're just going to pull this. And I want to demonstrate for us today something about faith. Okay? All right. Wait, let me put this guy here. All right, I need 4 guys of similar height. Do you have guys? Nate, with this? All right. I need 4 guys of his height. All righty-o. Put your legs firmly on the planted on the ground. Let's move this in. Okay, now you lean. You've got permission to sleep right now. Yeah, just rest secure. You got a seat closer. Yeah. Okay. All right. All right, man. Just sleep, man. Yeah. Have a good sleep, man, bro. Yeah, just sleep while I'm preaching, all right? Just sleep there. Just rest. Just rest totally. Just rest totally. Just put your head down. Relax, Nate. In the name of Jesus. Be God. All right, I'm gonna pull the chair out. Yeah. All right, last one. Come on, I need you to move your butt, man. Put your hands here. Yeah, just relax. We'll just keep preaching right now. Number one, how do you get over to the other side? Recognize the season is over. Just sleep, man. Number two. Leave the crowd. And the crowd could be people. The crowd could be something in your past. Could be a victory. Could be a pain. But you just got to leave it behind. Number three. You got to align yourself with Jesus and carry His presence. But number four. You have to stir up faith. Remember they went through the journey and a storm came in and they came to Jesus and said, Master, don't you care that we are perishing? And I mean, in fact, Jesus wasn't sleeping. He was just watching to see whether the disciples will exercise faith to go over to the other side. And what is faith? The question is, what is faith? Because a lot of us think that faith is a mystical concept. Faith is not a mystical concept. Faith is putting one's weight upon who God is. And these folks, if they don't put their weight upon each other's leg, they're going to fall totally to the ground. In fact, we can keep preaching and leave them here tonight, and they will still remain in this position. Trust me. Yeah. All right, let's okay, lift your butt. Yeah. No, you don't get it. We'll help you. All right, let's give them a big hand, man. This is a graphic illustration of what faith is. Faith is putting one's weight upon, number one, the Word of God. Jesus said, let's go over to the other side. You gotta believe. That's what God says. And he's saying to you, let us go over to the other side. So you've got to put faith, you've got to put your whole entire weight upon the Word of God. Because when you put your entire weight upon the Word of God, you come into alignment, there will be conviction. And when there's conviction, there will be impregnation. And when there's impregnation, there's going to be birth. But if you say, yeah, I believe, and you don't put your weight upon, nothing's going to happen. So you've got to put your entire weight upon His Word. Number two, you've got to put your entire weight upon who God is. The disciples had to put their entire weight not only on the Word of Christ, but also upon who Christ is. That is the reason why they woke Him up and said, Master, please save us. Because of who Christ is. And so if Solomon Porsche is going to go over to the other side, we've got to put our weight upon the Word of God. We've got to put our weight upon who God is. God is an awesome God, an almighty God, a provider for you and I. And if God has spoken, if God is leading, listen, God can pull the arsenals of His resources together. But it's going to be done through you. But you got to believe. The moment you don't believe, nothing's happening. But the moment if all of us can believe in who God is and what He says, then collectively, corporately, we all move over to the other side where we experience all of the wonderful stuff that is awaiting us, isn't it? But we've got to put our weight upon. We've got to put our weight upon God's Word and who He is. Amen? So how many of you are ready to go over to the other side? But maybe some of you this day, you're struggling with the recognition of the season. You're just not too sure. And friends, if you're not too sure, I want to urge you in a moment's time to come to this altar, find a place to pray and say, God, I need to know. I need you to speak clearly about this season. I need to have my eyes awakened and bring a fresh revelation into my life that the season is over in so far of all this stuff because you are taking me over to the other side. Some of you may be struggling with, not right now, trying to leave the crowd behind. And God's saying to you, you got to sever the past. You got to sever some of those stuff so that you can go forward. If you keep holding on to that, it holds you back from your destiny. So if you're struggling with it, then in a moment's time, come to the altars and find a place to pray and ask God to give you the gumption, the courage to leave the crowd behind. I know sometimes it is security and comfort zone for us. But listen, Jesus says, go over to the other side. And then some of us, we have not been practicing the presence of God. We don't even align ourselves with God's presence. And we expect God's presence to keep coming to us. Listen, it's about time we align ourselves into His presence. Which means it's about time we get connected with the life of the church. It's about time we get connected with the Word of God. It's about time we get connected with prayer, with worship, so that the presence of God can surround us. It's about time to stop doing some of the... It's about time to stop playing church, but be the church. Maybe some of us are struggling with this area of faith. We're just not too sure that God can back His Word up, man. We receive prophetic words about our life. Or maybe we read the Word of God and the Bible tells us certain thing and we say, well, God, I believe, but I'm not too sure. And you allow the seedbed of doubt to fester in your life. So you're not putting your entire weight upon His Word. Maybe some of you're doubting the character of God. You just cannot believe He is a loving God. You just cannot believe that He loves you so much that He's prepared to forgive you and to trust you into His destiny for your life. Today you need to find a place at the altars and say, God, I need a fresh encounter with You. I need a fresh encounter with You. Amen. Let's all stand. We have 10 minutes more before the clock strikes 4. And then this next 10 minutes, let me say this, is going to represent the most important 10 minutes in our life of Solomon Porch. For you individually and for the corporate church. I started off through some prophetic declaration of where this church is going to be. I stuttered for because when I came to Solomon Porch on Thursday, I recognized that this man has a missions call. And I recognize this man who have given his life totally for missions in different countries of the world. But God is calling this man to raise up and to send more. Because that's why I said to him that day, I said, you know, Sam, it's about multiplying yourself. And the multiplication has to do with a building. The multiplication has to do with a church. The multiplication has to do with you. So if you don't rise, the church doesn't go over to the other side. God has got spiritual victories for you. Some of you, you've been struggling against sin over and over. Listen, you got to go over to the other side. Victories. Deliverance. Evangelization. Miracles. Restoration. Man, those are awaiting you. But are you ready to leave the crowd? Are you ready to descend the season? Are you ready to align yourself with the presence of God? Are you ready to step out in faith? Amen. So this next few minutes will represent the most important minutes of you finding a place at this altar and pouring yourself before God, crying out, and then entering into a season of prayer so that breakthrough can take place for you guys to go over to the other side. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I'm going to ask the worship team to come right now. At the first word, first line of the song that the worship team is going to lead us, I'm going to ask you to come to the altars. If you know you need to come to the altars, you come. If you are here today, you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and your friends have invited you, listen, God has the other side for you. It is eternal, abundant life. It's about a life of success that God will give to you. It's about a life of following Jesus, filled with the abundance of heaven in your life. That's what abundant life is all about. But most of all, it's about eternal life, that you have a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. That's the other side God has for you. But God also has a plan for you, because, you know, the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." So God has a plan for you. Today, all you need to do is to come over to the other side by receiving Jesus Christ, and you will have God's plan for your life. So if you do not know Jesus Christ, you can also come to the altars, come to this place and pray. And then tap the person beside you and say, you know, I do not know Jesus Christ. And have them pray for you to receive Jesus. But for the believers, for the Christians in Solomon Porch, you come and you seek the face of God. God has the other side for you. Some of you, you're afraid, oh, what's going to happen? Listen, trust yourself. Abandon yourself in Him. I did that. I never realized I would circle the globe 4 times. I changed my passport 4 times within a span of a few years. When I was young, I told myself I want to travel, preaching. I didn't at that time. I wasn't thinking of preaching. I said I want to travel around the world, you know, sell different products, go to see the world, make $1 million. You know, today it's kind of amazing because I'm running a $1 million enterprise. Same thing, except it's defined by God. Hallelujah. And it's wonderful. So, first line, first word, you come and you find a place. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Consuming fire, into flame.
That's right. Just find a place to pray.
Passion for your name. Spirit of God, would you fall in this place? Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. Consuming fire, fanning to flame.
That's right, find a place to pray.
A passion for your name. Spirit of God,
fall in this place.
Fall in this place. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way with us.
Thank you, Jesus. You know, church, listen carefully. I'm not asking you to fill the altars for my own ego. And let me just say this very clearly. I'm calling you to come to the altars for your own sake. You know, in Trinity, we have folks that say, I don't need to come to the altars. God can work in me where I am. Listen, I tell you, it's sheer nonsense. Let me explain to you why. The fact that you are prepared to abandon yourself and walk down the altars, which means you are prepared to become a witness. You're prepared for other people to see you so that you can be accountable to the witnesses of people back there and to these folks in the front and to the presence of God. That's why I believe in altar call. That's why I believe we need to come to the altars, because we're coming for our own sake. And when you walked out, everybody sees that. There is something happened when there's a movement in the spirit. But coming, you are actually walking symbolically in the prophetic of walking to come over to the other side. So come for your own sake and come for the church. It doesn't, listen, even if it's just one person coming, doesn't bother me. So we're going to sing this song again, All Consuming Fire. If you know you need to come, you come right now. Because I'm going to hand this time over to Pastor Sam. And I'm going to ask you guys at the front right now, just press in. Those of you in the front, just keep pressing in. Press in. Press in. Press in to the other side. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That's right. Press in. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Glory, glory. Glory, glory. Send your glory. Glory, glory, send your glory.
Jesus.
Glory, glory, send your glory. Glory, glory, send. God will save. And God will save the day. And I will sing my glorious, my glorious, my glorious. And God will sing. And God will save the day. And I will sing my glorious, my glorious, my glorious, my glorious. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts. Passion for your name. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts. Passion for your name. For greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done. And let's say, we believe in you, Lord. Greater things have yet to come, greater things are still to be done. And let's say, yes, Lord. Have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done, and as you say, greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Spirit of God, fall in this place. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your Spirit of God. Spirit of God, fall in this place. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your Spirit. Spirit of God, to fall in this place. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. Consuming, consuming fire, fan into flame. Passion for your name. Spirit of God, fall in this place. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way with us. Have your way with us. Lord, come like a rushing wind.
Come like a rushing wind.
Clothe us.
Clothe us with power from on high.
Now set the captives free.
Now set the captives free. Leave us abandoned to your praise.
Lord, let your glory.
Lord, let your glory fall. Lord, let your glory fall.
Sing out, Lord, let your glory.
Lord, let your glory fall.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, let your glory fall.
Consuming, consuming fire,
fan into for your name. Spirit of God, would you fall in this place? Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way.
Consuming, consuming fire,
burn into flame. Passion for your name. Spirit of God, would you fall in this place? Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way with us. With us.
Oh, glory, glory, glory. Send your glory, Lord.
Glory, glory.
Send your glory all over us, Lord.
Glory, send your glory.
Glory, glory, send. Yes, Lord, glory.
Glory, glory, send your glory.
Glory, set. God will save us.
God, you will save the day when all will say, my glorious, my glorious, my glorious,
my glorious,
my glorious, my glorious.
Stir it up, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts. Passion for your name. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it stir it up in our hearts, passion for your name. Oh, Jesus, we believe that greater things have yet to come, and greater things still to be done in this city, in this city, and in this church, and in this world. Yes, Lord. Greater things have yet to come, greater things still to be done in this city. We believe, Lord, in this church as well. Greater things have yet to come, greater things are still to be done in the city, in each of our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Greater things have yet to come, greater things are still to be done here. Yes, Lord. Greater things, greater things. Oh, Jesus. Oh. Yes, Lord.
You know, when we started this church a few years ago, my wife and I, we wondered if anyone would ever come. That's the honest truth, you know. We wondered if anyone would follow us. I wondered, you know, a lot of times in my insecurity, I wondered if I could teach on a week-by-week basis and if I could give fresh bread every single week to people. You know, and it was a fear, it was a wonder, it was a, you know, anxiety and all these things. And, you know, we look at 7 years and you guys have come. And I want to tell you, it's been such a blessing. You know, and even as I look down and I see you guys on your knees and crying out to God, this is all God. You know, had very little to do with my wife and I. I'm not trying to be humble or anything. I'm just being very honest. Very little to do with us. It's all God. You know, and I think what I want to say, you know, during this time and my wife and I, you know, first and foremost, man, we are for you guys. We are for your success. You know, we are for your success in, you know, in the marketplace, in your families. I mean, we want all you guys to get married and have kids and, you know, and to really grow. And it's not just something that we say because, man, we are for you to have a full life in God. You know, and I think more than anything else, you know, my wife and I and our whole staff with Pastor Nate and Kenny and Pastor Sam and Annie and our kids and, you know, and Sophia and Ed and Samantha, who are interns, and, you know, all... You know, I think more than anything, we just really covet your prayers, you know, and leading and all of our leaders, our house church leaders and all these things. And, you know, I don't want to sound cheesy or anything like that. But just from my heart, I think in some ways I want to say sorry. What a poor imitation of a pastor you guys have. You know, I never once considered myself to be a pastor. And maybe that's some of the problem. But sometimes I think deep, I feel sorry for you guys. What a poor imitation of a pastor that you guys have. You know, more of a slave driver than anything else. And I apologize for that. If I'm not able to express my love for you in a way that you can relate to, I really am sorry. You know, and all in saying that, you know, we covet your prayers, you know, so that we can be, you know, who God wants us to be. And then if we are who God calls us to be, you can be God who calls you to be. You know, and we're all in this together, every single one of us. You know, and I don't know if you want to say anything, Lisa. Yeah. Let's just pray. Just speechless. Lord, we come together, God, and Lord, I step in, Father God, Lord, into the mandate, God, and the office, Lord, that you have called me to be, Father. I know I've shied away from it so many times, Lord, and even standing in this place, God, it's even very difficult for me, Lord. And you know that. But Lord, we step in as a couple, God. We step in into the apostolic office, Lord, that you have in store. Lord, let the ministry flow, God. But with that, Lord God, I ask, God, even more for a pastoral heart, Lord God. Just a real ability to share and care, God. And you know my weaknesses, you know my tendencies, God. And I ask you to bombard through all those things, God, that I could be the leader, God, that this church needs, this movement needs, God. Lord, I humble myself, Lord, and my wife, and we humble ourselves before this congregation, God, the people whom you've entrusted to us. And Lord, we have never taken that call lightly, God, 1 minute, 1 second. And we are grateful for everyone that's come to this place. And we pray, God, that together, Lord, that you would lead us into something greater. Lord, this is not about us, God, or it's about you. And I pray that you'd help each one of us, Lord, come into, God, a vibrant, living relationship with the Son of God, that they could be all who they are, God. Help us to take the focus off ourselves, our situations, our circumstances, and we fix our eyes on you, Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Lord, who for the joy set before you endured the cross, despising the shame, and you sat down at the right hand of God the Father. And so teach each one of us as a church, God, to come together, Lord, to have our hearts moved in unison. God, that yes, God, that we would live sacrificially, Lord. I tell you, I have a vision and understanding. And I think the Lord is going to challenge so many of us in these, you know, next months. I think some of you guys are going to move out of your houses. Sell your houses and move to smaller flats and give to the church. Some of you guys that own 4 or 5 houses, you're going to sell a few of them and give it to the church. I'm serious. It's not because we want all that stuff. There's going to be such a wave of sacrifice that flows. As the sacrifice comes, right? Sacrifice first and then the glory. And so we just bless Solomon's Porch, God. We bless, God, this church. We bless the hearts, God. And Lord, because we know that you are for us, God. You are not against us. You are for us, Lord. But Lord, you cause us to be blessed so that we can be a blessing, God. Forgive us for holding it ourselves. Forgive us for relying, God, on our strengths. And just draw us to you. We thank you, Jesus. We bless you, God. Teach us, God, to be true sons and daughters, Lord. We thank you for every person, God, that you've given, God, in charge of our care, Lord. Bless them, God. Bless us as we lead. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. We could all stand and let's celebrate the awesome. God in this place. Feel free to stand where you are. You don't have to go back to your seats. All right, Kenny, let's get Because of Your Love going. All right, come on. This is how.
This is how I know what love is. This is how I know I'm free. This is how I know salvation. Jesus came and died for me. This is why I come to worship. This is why I lift my hands. This is why I now surrender everything I am because of your love that stands still in my heart. Because of your grace, I am free. Because of your faithfulness, there's a song that must be sung. I will sing because of you.
Yeah. Woo! This is why there's joy.
This is why there's joy within me. This is why my spirit sings. Jesus, you're my great adventure. You're my everything because of your love. Sin in my heart because of your grace. I am free because of your faithfulness. There's a song that must be sung. I will sing because of you. I will sing, I will sing.
Sing it out. You came to save.
You came to save the world. To save the world. To save the world.
You came to save.
You came to save the world. To save the world. To save the world.
You know your love can change.
Your love can change the world. Can change the world. Can change the world.
Your love can change.
Your love can change the world. Can change the world. Can change the world.
Because of love.
Because of your love. That's dancing in my heart because of your grace. I am free because of your faithfulness. There's a song that must be sung. I will sing because of you. I will dance, because of you. I will dance because of you.
Thank you, Jesus. Bless be your name.
Amen. I think this is the closest I've ever been on the worship team. I like the view up here during worship, man. I know I'll go back down there later, but I appreciate letting me on the stage during this time. Why don't you turn to your neighbor? Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, good looking. Say, are you on the team? Are you on the team, Ryan? You know, all that Pastor Dominic has been sharing and whatnot, we can't do it until we all come together. I'm serious. This is, right, it's not just some special people, some anointed people. It's all of us. We're all special. We're all anointed. It'll take all of us collectively combined to really begin to tap into all that God has in store for us as a church. I'm not saying that we're the only church or the best. I'm not saying any of these things, but there's a destiny, there's a plan of God for Solomon's Porch here in Hong Kong, here in Asia, Right? And so, and it'll take every single one of us to come on board on the team, you know, to see God's work accomplished here. You know, I've already given my life to that. You know, and I'm hoping that you will as well. I mean, that's what we're trying to say. Right? And so as I pray, let's close our eyes. And since we're on the team, Lord, we thank you, God, for every person that's here, Lord. And we thank you for the vision, God. We thank you for your heart, Lord, being extended to each one of us. God, we believe, God, in your destiny, God. We believe, Lord, that you are desiring, God, to do something that's beyond ourselves, Lord. I believe we'll look 7 years later on, God, and we'll look back and we'll just be in amazement and just in awe and wonder of you out of all that you've done, God, through God, this small band of people, God, that you've brought from all over the globe. Lord, we thank you for bringing us together. God, there's just joy just in that fact alone that you brought us together. But Lord, you brought us together for a purpose. And God, we align ourselves to your purposes, God, that they may be established through our lives, Lord. God, and we're saying here today, God, that we are selling all that we have and we're buying that pearl, God. We're selling all the stuff, God, and we're buying that piece of land, that precious pearl, God. And so would you come and would you stir our hearts, Lord? God, wouldn't you lead us, God? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Once you look at the teammates around you, give them a big hug, huh? Big high five. Say, man, I love you in Jesus' name. Please join us for some refreshments in the back. And if you're new, please join us on the fourth floor in about 10 minutes or so. Have a wonderful weekend. If you're going to YWAM, come talk to me. We'll try to work out a carpool tonight.